God bless you as you're seated today. Give somebody a high five and tell them it's good to see you in God's house this morning. God bless you today. What a privilege I have this morning to come and share the word of God with you today. Everybody looks so good this morning, and I feel like I hope you've had a great week. If you haven't had a good week, just hang on because it's going to get better. Thank God. I asked a few people around this morning as I was visiting, well, how's your week go? And several times somebody said, well, not too good. And my first thought was, well, thank you for being authentic. Thanks for being real. You know, most time people say, well, I'm doing great. God bless you and thank you. But if you're not doing good, don't worry. Just stay in faith. God's going to answer your prayers. Amen. Aren't you glad about that, church? God bless everybody today. Turn with me in Scripture to the book of Luke this morning, Luke chapter 22. We're going to continue in our series, Next Level Living, this morning. And as you know, all month long, we are ministering and speaking from the words of Jesus. And today, a little bit more unusual, talking about next level confidence and boldness today. And I want to get you to say something with me. Everybody say this. Say, strengthen your brethren. Come on. Now, if you don't want to say it the old churchy way, just say, strengthen your brothers. Come on, say it one more time. Say, strengthen your brothers. You've got brothers and sisters. Strengthen your brothers. And the reason why we're kind of going here with this thought today is because you're going to go through some things in life, but Jesus, and he intends for us to go through them with great faith, with confidence and strength on the other side, and then to turn around and strengthen the people around you who may be going through something as well. Amen, everybody. And so Next Level Living today, looking at Luke chapter 22, the words of Jesus. And we're talking about a very unusual conversation that Jesus is having with Peter. All right. And here's what the Lord said. He said, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you like wheat. Read that one more time, because I want you to see the dynamic here of what's taking place in this conversation. Peter and Jesus are having a conversation, and Jesus is announcing this to Peter, and he says, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. Now look at the next verse in verse number 22, and here's the key. Jesus said, but I have prayed for you. That's about all you need right there. Satan's working, but Jesus said, I've prayed for you. Here's his prayer. He said, that your faith should not fail. And when you've returned to me, in other words, when you've gone through the thing that's coming, Jesus said, I've got something for you to do. Strengthen your brethren. Amen. Let's pray. Y'all stretch your hands toward me for a prayer real quick. Father, I love you. Thank you so much for the great honor that I have this morning. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you use me and use these words this morning to encourage, Lord, to uplift and to make a difference, Father. I just pray for your people this morning, all over the house, on the community, and online today who are watching. Father, we love you and thank you in advance for life change and great spiritual results. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. If you are among those who call Jesus Lord, you are a threat to Satan. All right, let me repeat that before we kind of get rolling this morning, because this is a different kind of message today. It's a little bit more of a preaching message than a teaching today. I want you to hear me. If you are among those who call Jesus Lord, you're a threat to Satan. We don't talk about Satan and this demons and things like that an awful lot, but I'm going to tell you, they're real. You better believe that if you believe in God, you believe in good, you can believe in evil. And we know what the word says. But you're a threat to Satan. People who go to work, people who go to school, and people who tell their friends and families about the love of Jesus are a particular threat to Satan. And so there's this relentless attempt by the enemy to target you and to destroy anybody who names the name of Christ. But we need to see this morning, and this is what I want to point out right off the bat today. We need to see this morning that Satan can't just go around picking anybody at random to go after them. This is a theme in both the Old and the New Testaments, that Satan does not have free rein to attack you. He has to come against you with limits and barriers that are set by God your Father. Amen. God is watching over you at all times, every day and in every situation. In fact, church, God does not allow the enemy to have a free way and an unrestricted control over any situation in your life. This is revealed to us in scriptures. A great example of it in the book of Job, we see where the enemy had to come before God to find out who he could attack. And here it is in Jesus here in the book of Luke says this. He said, "The devil Satan has come to me and asked to have you, to sift you as wheat." But I want you to get this thought in your spirit as we move forward today, looking on your screen, this statement. God does not allow the enemy to have unrestrained control over any situation. Okay? Can y'all see that, guys? He does not allow the enemy to have unrestricted control over any situation in your life. Now, we like to think that in any and every situation, that the Lord is just going to swoop down and rescue us from whatever plight that we find ourselves in. And we like to think that he'll be like some kind of superhero coming to our aid with a supernatural answer to whatever it is, whatever mess we find ourselves in. But church, you know this. If you've lived in this world any amount of time, and if you've served God for any length of time, you already know that God does not always just swoop in with a great supernatural, miraculous answer. Sometimes God lets you go through some things in this life. Notice what he said to Peter. He said, "The devil, Satan, has asked to have you, to sift you as wheat." That's what the Lord said. Notice also that Jesus did not say, "Well, Peter, when he came and asked for you, I told him to be gone." He didn't say that. When Satan asked for you, Peter, to sift you, Jesus didn't say that he told him to go away and leave Peter alone. Jesus didn't say that he told the enemy, the Satan, "No way, you're going to leave him alone. That's not going to happen." Jesus did not say to Peter, "Peter, don't worry about it. I'm going to step in and make sure that you don't have to go through anything." That's not what Jesus told Peter. No, Jesus didn't offer any of those miraculous, promising answers. In fact, Jesus didn't offer any immediate solutions right then, but he did say, "I'll be praying for you." Come on, somebody. That's what he said. He didn't say you're not going to have to experience any of this stuff, but he did say, "I'm going to be faithful and I'm going to pray for you." Did you realize that that's the last thing in the world we want to hear from people around us? Come on now. When we tell them that we are in trouble or that we have a need or we are going through something, the last thing sometimes we want to hear is, "I'll be praying for you." And sometimes I want to, and I'm hoping everybody's been praying for me. I've got a lot of prayer requests out the last week or two over some physical ailments and some sickness that I've been going through. And thank you guys for praying for me. I'm starting to feel better. Thank God. Amen. Thank you guys so much for praying for our Emily. She's been having a very difficult couple of weeks, but thank God she's starting to feel better. Amen. God does miracles. Can you say a good amen? Notice what Jesus didn't say. He didn't say, "I'll come to your rescue this time." He didn't say, "I'll step in and keep it from happening." No, he said to Peter this. Essentially, he said, "It's going to happen, and I'll be praying for you." Yeah. Pastor, why are you telling me this? We're supposed to come in here and get encouraged and hear that God's just going to step in and snap his fingers and everything's going to be okay all the time. I'm telling you the truth this morning because sometimes you're going to have to face some difficult obstacles in this life, and God is going to let you go through it because he intends to use those things to strengthen you so that your testimony will be built up and you can turn around, and next time somebody you love is going through something, you can testify and say, "You know what? I was going through something similar, but God sustained me through my garbage, and now I can believe with you that you're going to get through it too." Amen. There's an ancient process of sifting, and I looked into this because I wanted to find out what Peter might have thought when Jesus said, "You're going to be sifted." Okay? It's very significant that Jesus used the term "sifted as wheat" in this scripture because of the nature or the process of sifting in those days. How did sifting take place? Well, first they threw all of the wheat and through a blocked off barrier, like a round structure that had a pole in the middle of it. Then they tied an ox to the pole, and they began to whip the ox until it began circling around in circles, trampling and stomping on all the wheat inside the pen. Then the wheat was cut and beaten by the hooves of the ox until that wheat was in fine particles, until it was ready to be scooped up and put into bags and shaken so that the wheat kernels would fall through the holes in the bag and only the chaff from the wheat remained in the bag so they could separate and discard the chaff from the wheat and then send the kernels to the hand-turned stone grinders to be made into fine meal. That's quite a process. Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, and that's how we understood it. Essentially, we understand this. Essentially, Satan came and asked the Father if he can trounce you, to walk on you, to stomp on you, to tear you apart and separate you. And Jesus' response to Peter was, I'll be praying for you while you're going through it. That's how we understood it. Y'all getting to this morning? And at some time, why am I telling you that? At some time in your life, church, you're going to be that person who feels like your life has been sifted like wheat. And if you don't know this book, and if you've not built a life and a faith around God's grace and his faithfulness towards you, then when you go through sifting processes and sifting seasons in your life, it can feel like you've been thrown for a loop. It can feel like you're being punished in life, or that God is not satisfied with you, or that God has lost interest in you, or he has forgotten all about you. Instead of understanding this morning that going through some things might be what God uses to fortify you and train you and strengthen you and build you up and get you ready for your next level and your next assignment. You can receive it. Say a good amen this morning. Amen. Now, we all know what the word says. Jesus said, I'll be praying for you. He's our ultimate intercessor. Aren't you glad about that? Now, that should give us some strength and some confidence right there and some boldness knowing, look, I can pray for you, and I'm so glad that you have confidence in my prayers and in Karen's prayers, and I have confidence in yours. But you know what gives me the most hope? Knowing that Jesus, my Lord and Savior, is on the right hand of the Father making intercession for me daily. Amen. I'm so glad that he is praying for us. Let's look at what his prayer is to Peter here. Jesus told Peter, I'm praying for you that your faith will not fail. You mean God expects me to be strong enough to endure the thing that I'm facing? Yes, he does. Because he's given you his blood. He's given you his word. He's given you his spirit. He has equipped you. He's given you everything that you need pertaining to life and to godliness. Jesus here has got a test for Peter. He's going to let him go through something. And he says, you know what? Here's my prayer. I'm just going to pray that as you go through it, your faith won't fail. What gives me hope this morning about this is that Jesus does not pray like we pray. Sometimes when we kneel and pray, we're praying just hoping that God hears and hoping God will answer. But how many know this morning that Jesus never doubts whether or not his own prayer is going to be answered? Come on, somebody. Let me make sure we got a hold of that one. Jesus doesn't pray hoping that it's going to get answered. He's praying knowing that it's going to get answered. He knew that Peter would make it through to the other side because that's what he was praying for. Just like he knows in advance that when he prays for you, you're going to make it through to the other side of your trial and your sifting season. Come on now. I want you to take heart this morning and be built up and trained in this concept today that, you know what, as long as you put your faith in Jesus, he's praying for you. I'm not going to tell you that you don't need me and everybody around you praying as well. We all need to pray. But you can take solace in the fact and confidence and boldness in the fact this morning that your Heavenly Father, who sent Jesus Christ to the cross, who willfully gave his life for you because he loved you so much, he's the one who's praying for you every day that your faith will not fail, that when you face hardships and difficulties, when things that are unexpected come against you, you've got your Savior. You've got your Savior, at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you, and he knows that his prayers are going to get answered. Come on. Thank God. Because Jesus is our ultimate intercessor. Aren't you glad about that? You know what the word says in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 25? The word says this, therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Praise God. That's what he's doing in your life this morning. He's praying for you that your faith will not fail. That's what he told Peter. He said, I'm praying for you. Why? That your faith will not fail. Thank God. Thank God. In other words, he told Peter, he said, when it's all over, when your trial is complete, when you return to me, when the process is done and your faith has prevailed. Notice the Lord doesn't question whether or not you're going to make it through. He knows you're going to make it because that's his prayer. And his prayers get answered. Somebody say a good one. Come on. Amen. He said, when it's over and you've prevailed, I've got something for you to do. I want you to take your story, take your word, take your experience, take what you've been through, Peter, and go and strengthen your brethren. Use this thing. Notice that Jesus did not say, now, Peter, I don't know how you're going to come through this. Aren't you glad that's not what the Lord said? He didn't say, I'm praying, Peter, but I don't know what the end result's going to be. Thank God. No, we're talking about God. We're talking about Jesus, the Father. And God always knows exactly what's going to happen. He said, you will come through it. How does that apply to me and you? I've been through some things when I've wondered till the last moment whether or not I was going to make it. Have you ever been through something great in life, some tedious trial or some great sifting season of life, when unless God stepped in the last moment and strengthened you and built you up, you just didn't know if he was going to make it? Who knows what I'm talking about this morning? It's in those moments we begin to rely upon the word of God and the power of God and the words of Christ and realize, you know what? I can remember some times in my life, guys, when I spent so much time in the altar praying that I ran out of prayer words to pray. When you run out of prayer words to pray and you're in an altar begging God and seeking the Lord for so long, sometimes the best you can do is just say, Lord, help me. Y'all ever been there? Lord, help me. But many times it's been in those seasons, in the very end of those seasons, when I've been reminded, you know what? He is helping me. He's praying for me. He's believing for me. He's knowing in advance because he has invested in my life and he's invested in your life. What did he invest in you? He invested his blood and his word and his spirit in your life. And he knows that as long as you cling to his resources and his promises, and as long as you rely upon his presence and his activity in your life to influence you and to help you take one more step and to help you say one more prayer and to help you breathe in and breathe out and take one more step, as long as you cling on to God and refuse to let go and hold on to the word and quote the word of God and remain faithful, Jesus says, you know what? I'm praying for you that your faith will not fail. And it will not fail. Come on, somebody. If you believe it this morning, say a good amen. It won't fail. God's in control. And he knows. See, what has happened to you will equip you to be able to go to somebody else and tell them this. God may not always keep you from trouble. He may not always keep you from pain. He may not always keep you from anguish. But there is an intercessor in heaven. So Jesus was on the earth back then, but guess what? He's still here today. He's still here. The word says he's at the right hand of the Father, praying, making intercession. Why? That your faith will not fail. While we face what's going on in this life, he's the one, watch this closely, hear me, he's the one who talks to the Father about the thing you're in. He's the one talking to the Father about the situation that you are in. Do you guys remember that the word says that he was in all points tempted and tested like you and I are tested? Hebrews 4 and 15 says this, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet he was without sin. What does that mean? It means that he's been there, he's done that. Church, there's no problem that he can't comprehend. There's no pain that he doesn't understand. He's been there. He's done that. He's overcome it way before you even got started with the mess that you're in. And because he sits there as our advocate, we're able to tell him all about whatever we feel while we're going through the sifting. And Jesus already knows because he feels it too. Thank God. He's able to bring you through the matter, bring you through your situation, bring you through that sifting, church. You know, there's something about being sifted in this life. And, man, we go through it sometimes. When we're going through a situation, a hard time, we have a hard time seeing the good in it. And we wish that we didn't have to go through it. Sometimes you can reach a point where you'd rather just be weak than have to go through this thing in order to get strong. But we need to come to a place, church, where we realize that God has already provided victory for us. In other words, today, victory is not something that I'm trying to get. I've already got it. Hear me out on this. You've already got it. What do you mean you've already got it? Because he's already given it to you. It's just like righteousness. Did you know that no matter how hard you try, you cannot get righteousness? You've got righteousness already by faith if you've received Jesus in your life. You can't achieve a righteous state because righteousness is not an achievement. Righteousness is a person, and he's Jesus. And when you receive the Lord in your life, the Bible says that he imparts righteousness to you by faith. See, if you've got Jesus, you've already been made righteous. It's not something that you prayed down. It's not something that you studied and found out into your mind. It's something that you received by faith when you believed in him at the foot of the old rugged cross. He made you into righteousness. He made you into redemption. Did you know that you can't even get redemption? You can't get it. If you've got Jesus and faith in him, you've already got it. You can't get it because it's not up to you and anything that you do. It's up to him and what he did. Come on. I'm not making this stuff up. The truth is, when you get it, we get everything when we get Jesus. Did y'all hear me this morning? We get it all when we get Jesus. That's why we can rely on Hebrews 4:16. And here's where we want to land this morning. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly. Everybody say boldly. Let's come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. See, church, because of Jesus, you can expect mercy and grace when you need it. That promise of mercy and grace is why you can have next level confidence and boldness in God while you're going through your seasons of sifting. Notice that you don't have to beg God for it. You're instructed in his word to go boldly before God to receive from him. Thank God, everybody. Amen. So I thought about seasons of sifting, and I realized it seems to me like there are like three seasons that you can go through in sifting. You know, we've all been through all of these. There's low seasons, and then there's rocky seasons. But then if you make it through the low season and the rocky season, you might just encounter a marching season. I like those seasons. You can go boldly into the throne of grace today and receive grace for your low seasons. Those low seasons are those valleys in life. Those times when you get bad news or you're disappointed. Those times when you're bogged down by those draining relationships. Those times when you're dragging along in life and wondering if you're ever going to get a break. Anybody ever been there before? Amen. Well, here's the thing. During those low seasons, there's some things, some concepts that you can rely on. You can choose to learn these things. First of all, God's grace is sufficient for you. Number two, promise he will be your guide. Aren't you thankful he doesn't leave you alone? And number three, if you stay in faith during these low seasons, God's gift of mercy and grace are just around the corner. What a blessing. And you know this from experience, and you're going through a dull moment or a dull season of life and just feel like things are heavy and burdened, and maybe you encounter some disappointments or some distractions that's kind of got you off and wonder when you're going to get a break. If you hang on, mercy and grace will begin to flood your life, and you'll get the breakthrough that you need. Amen. Well, Pastor, how long do I need to hang on? I don't know, other than just long enough. He's also got grace for your rocky seasons. Not just your low seasons, but for your rocky seasons as well. See, church, sooner or later, this sifting process is going to take you along some rocky roads. I've been down some rocky roads, haven't you? Some difficult things. Those are those difficult projects, those unexpected detours in life that really kind of derail you from time to time. Those unpaved areas of life where everything is not so sure. And on these rocky siftings, there are some things that you can focus on and be sure of. Number one, be sure that God's word is your proven roadmap. You can rely on the word of God. Amen. I like to tell people this too, that when you're in a rocky season, your tough, resilient faith will see you through. Thank God. I like to remind people that the promise that the rocky road experiences will always make you stronger. There's an attitude adjustment right there, because I've learned to do this. When you're going through a tough season in life and you're relying on God to give you a breakthrough and help you get to your new level, it can even feel like, God, you have to step in just for me to survive, just for my family to get to where we need to go. I can tell you this, you can discipline yourself and remind yourself like the Apostle Paul, who prayed. The Bible says he prayed three times for the thorn in his flesh to be removed. God's answer to him was no. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. And so when you're weak, the Lord told him, then I'll show up and be strong. Thank God. And finally, when you make it through, you're going to have grace for your marching seasons. I like marching seasons, don't y'all? Those times when you're marching along. Those seasons in life when, you know, just like Peter, the Lord knows beforehand that you're going to keep the faith. You're going to come through it all. Because guess what? He's not concerned with the circumstances. He's the one praying for you. He knows it. So in his care, when you've made it through and your sifting season is over, you can experience these episodes of marching seasons in life. Those are those times when you're experiencing achievement, when your life is harvesting great spiritual fruit. And so during those times, let's all remember to enjoy some things. Let's enjoy spiritual fulfillment. Let's enjoy personal success to the glory of God. Amen. These are our celebration times. And enjoy that impactful kingdom service. Because guess what? When you make it through to the other side of your sifting, then it comes to celebration. Everybody say celebration. Y'all receive it in your life today? Come on, if so, say I receive it. Why don't we clap and give God the best praise we can right now? Let me speak to you about this for just another moment. We're going to pray. Maybe you feel like you're going through a sifting season right now. Maybe in a situation where it's a low season or it's a rocky season. I don't know what it is. Maybe you got family that's really struggling hard. Maybe you feel like the enemy is out to get you. Let me encourage you with this thought. A couple things, really, as we wrap up today. Number one, be reminded today that you're not alone. Jesus himself is praying for you. Aren't you glad about that this morning? And guess what? His prayers get answered. I said his prayers get answered, church. Come on, somebody. How many can testify with me this morning that you know that his prayers are going to get answered? Has he ever answered one for you? Amen. And here's the second thought that I want us to think about. Not only is he praying for you, he's got a purpose for your process. I don't know what it is other than what he revealed to Peter. Your life is going to come through on the other side and strengthen your brethren. It's going to strengthen the people around you.